Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan De Burka Butler is with us once again to bring us some stories from other parts of the world. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, the US we're going to go to next. And why are the police using Lego?
Okay, so this is the Murrieta Police Department in Southern California, right? And they have, like a lot of police departments in the United States, and I'm sure they do it here, they have an Instagram account, and they have quite a large following. 32,500 people follow their account.
Okay.
For a small police department, it's not too bad at all. And on there, they will post stories about recent arrests that they've made and what happened and why they were called to arrest these people and so on and so forth. And of course, they used to, along with the narrative, they would post images of the people that they had caught in handcuffs or whatever that might be. However, at the beginning of this year, there was a California law that took effect on January the 1st, limiting departments in the sharing of mugshots and various other photographs, booking photographs, online, right? And the idea behind this was that experts were basically saying that these were harmful, right? They were saying for people awaiting trial, you know, mugshots can carry a presumption of guilt. And then they were saying, okay, let's say you've done the crime and you've done the time, but these images stay online for years or potentially for years. So what the law decided was that the mugshots or the images can stay up online for 14 days. And after that, they have to be taken down. Unless, of course, this is a crazed gunman going around the county shooting people all the time. So to comply with that, the police department of Murrieta decided that they still wanted to engage with their 32,000 followers. They put the images up, but they covered the faces with Lego heads. Various facial grimaces and expressions. But Lego got wind of this and they weren't particularly happy about it. So they asked them to cease and desist from the use of this intellectual property on their posts, and they've had to comply.
Right. And so any indication from the police department what they're going to do going forward in terms of pictures?
They haven't come to that conclusion yet. I actually had a look at the Instagram account. I put a couple of pictures out on Twitter as well, but I had a look at the Instagram account and they haven't taken down all of the images actually that they've posted with the Lego heads yet, and I don't know why. So it remains to be seen whether they'll take action on it. But just thought it was interesting, this whole idea of privacy for the criminal on social media, and obviously not everybody is actually happy about that, as you can imagine. You know, on the crime, you know.
Right, Venezuela we're going to go to next, and God, as if, you know, the place wasn't in enough of a state as it was. More US sanctions.
Yeah, so these are the, well, US sanctions. You remember about the time that the Russian invasion happened in Venezuela, in Ukraine, right? Yeah. And oil prices shot up. And, of course, people were wondering, would the USA start looking at Venezuela because they've got loads of the stuff? And sure enough, they did. It was a rather cynical move, but there you go. So there was a deal done in Barbados about 7 or 8 months ago between the USA, Venezuelan government, which basically said, look, we'll open up we'll lift the embargoes on oil and mining and that kind of thing in Venezuela if you decide to go down a more democratic path in your elections. And Maduro said, okay, absolutely no problem. I'll call elections in July. I'll bring in international observers to have a look and everything will be hunky-dory. And the Americans said, brilliant, let's open up the licenses now and you can trade oil on the international markets. The effect on that on the Venezuelan economy was actually huge, right? So they doubled the production of oil from about 600,000 barrels a day to over 1 million. So you can understand how that affected the economy there, and they were doing quite well. However, the, let's say, democratic process was being scuppered all the way along, right? So the elections are going to happen in July. That's no problem. But it looks like he has been blocking his main rivals, right? So there's two people who've been taken out of the runnings in the election, okay? So one of those is a woman by the name of Maria Corina Machado. And in the last opinion poll that was published, if she were to run in the election, she would win in the first round. She would get 70% of the vote and Maduro would get something like 13%. So removing her from a political point of view was obviously the right thing to do. From an economic point of view, from an international political point of view, I suppose, it was a mistake because now the USA have decided to reimpose these sanctions on Venezuela, and it's going to probably hit them hard in the pocket.
Yeah, one imagine. So Japan we're going to go to next. And this is, now, parents are allowed to have joint custody. This is divorced parents, I assume.
Yeah, so as it stands, under Japan's civil code, couples must decide which parent will take custody of their child, right? Okay. So one gets and the other doesn't. And what that can mean, obviously, is if there's animosity between the divorced couple, it could mean no access for the parent that's left behind, as we say, right? And obviously that causes problems. And if you imagine that there's approximately 200,000 children that are affected every year by divorce, right? Which is quite a staggering amount. And there was a survey conducted in 2021 which showed that a third of those children with divorced parents said they eventually lost contact with the non-custodial parent. You can see that that policy must have a profound effect on them psychologically. So the government have decided to make a change. There was a policy that was tabled which would allow couples to negotiate joint custody of children. Now, how exactly they're going to do that, I don't know. But that's what they're going to do. And it was voted through in the lower house last week. It still has to go to the upper chamber. That'll happen by this summer and it could come in by 2026. But it's quite a significant change in and around family law in Japan, which is generally quite conservative. So you never know, it might see other changes in other areas as well.
Yeah, indeed. Now, this is an interesting one. Morocco, a man's been sentenced to 5 years for criticising the normalisation of relations with Israel.
Right. So you remember the Abraham Accords that were happening around 2019, 2020. This was the US brokered deals that were made between Israel and several Arab countries, right? So Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Sudan. And the last one was Morocco. And of course, they were lining up Saudi Arabia for a long time. But then, of course, October happened last year. So Morocco normalised relations in 2020, and the quid pro quo for Morocco was that they would have Western Sahara, this disputed area in southern Morocco, recognised by the United States and Israel, right? It's not recognised by the United Nations as owning it specifically. But not everybody was happy about it. So there was always murmurings in Moroccan society. And you can imagine that that really took off when everything kicked off in Gaza around about October.
Yeah.
So tens of thousands of people have been taken to the streets to protest the recognition by Morocco of Israel. And one person in particular seems to have been singled out, a man by the name of Abdul Rahman Zankad. He's an activist and he was sentenced to 5 years in prison in a court in Morocco last year. And he was, last Monday, he was also fined 50,000 Moroccan dirhams, which is about 4,000 euros there, thereabouts. But the five-year sentence is fairly harsh, it has to be said.
And what specific law did he break?
Yeah, so he posted things on Facebook, right? And what they're saying is that he was found guilty of insulting a constitutional institution and incitement. Now, I think what they're doing here by going towards the constitutional institution side of it is they're saying that this verges on insulting the king, which is against the law in Morocco.
Okay.
They have the Les Majestes rules, similar to Thailand.
Yes.
We've gone on about quite a bit. So I think they're going into that area there and they're saying, oh, well, you insulted the constitution. The king looks after that. So you're insulting the king. 5 years in jail. It's quite extraordinary.
Okay, yeah, quite harsh and kind of more concerning about free speech in Morocco.
Big time, because Morocco would be considered one of the more open societies in that part of the world, for sure.
Right, Italy we're going to go to next, where you can't climb trees anymore.
Yes, this is a tragic story, really. It comes from a town called Oderzo, which is in the northern province of Treviso. And climbers of trees will now risk fines of between 25 and 500 euros. Now, I don't know how they decide the measure of the fine, maybe the bigger the
how
tree.
How high up you get.
That
maybe,
could be it. The bigger the tree, the bigger the fine. But it's been brought in by the mayor there, a woman by the name of Maria Scardellato. And she said that the rule was intended to keep people safe and to protect the trees. Now, she tends to be on the right of the political side, so you can imagine that the left have been coming at her and basically saying that this was sort of a paradoxical ban because, we're trying to keep them off, kids off mobile phones and we want them to get out there. But if we don't let them climb trees, how are they going to do that?
Yeah, had it been a particular problem? Was there a spate of tree climbing incidents in the town?
This is the interesting thing. The mayor herself came out and she said that she had never seen a city centre where people climb trees. Italians would not be known for their tree climbing.
No.
Because, you know, they dirty their clothes and that's very important to them. I don't really know why this rule came in, but I just thought it was bizarre and a nice way to end.
It's a funny one in that she's on the right, because it's a kind of, you know, it's almost like this is your typical loony left story that would appear in the Daily Mail. Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Well, I don't know if it constitutes foreign, but I suppose, technically speaking, it is. Northern Ireland former DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson is scheduled to appear for first hearing at Newry Magistrates Court, charged with those historical sexual offences. That should be all over the news on Wednesday. North Macedonia will have presidential elections on the same day. Saturday, the second polling day in that epic Indian general election that we spoke about last week. And then on the same day, it's the White House Correspondents Association dinner. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because it triggered memories of Barack Obama's speech in 2011, slagging off Donald Trump, which many people say triggered him to run for the presidency.
Do you know who's speaking at it this year?
Well, I would imagine that it's Joe Biden.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Thanks, man, Jonathan. As ever, that's Jonathan DeBurka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.